This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Through a 9-3-6-6-1600. Spencer on Sports back with you here for this Thursday evening drive time driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Continuing on here this afternoon. Thanks for joining the program as always with you till 6. Got the live sports schedule all freshened up through the month of May at KGYMRadio.com. That was one of my projects yesterday, not having a show. What could I do to be productive? Don't have to talk on the radio. But freshened up the website, took care of some stuff behind the scenes so you could check out our, at least what we know now, schedule at KGYMRadio.com. 319-366-1600. Let's go to our phone lines here and talk a little hoops. On a Thursday, final day of April, big night in the Twin Cities. Just mentioned the Twins in action at 6:40. That's when nobody, Twins are, they got 100-some games. Two game sixes tonight up in the cities. The Wolves and the Nuggets and the Wild and Stars tonight as well. So a busy night if you love sports in and around the Twin Cities in Minneapolis and St. Paul. We'll focus in on the basketball side of things. Good to have Gabe Anderson from the Running with the Timberwolves podcast here on the show to talk some hoops, talk some Wolves in particular here on 1600 ESPN. Gabe, it's been too long, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Spencer?
We are fantastic. Glad to have you on the show finally. You and I go way back, and you're like, hey, if you ever needed somebody to talk on the show, have me on, and I had an opening finally. So good to have you. Good to have you join and talk some Wolves.
I'm super glad to be on. And yet you mentioned, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are maybe at the Twins game till like the seventh inning, and then they'll probably migrate over to Target Center. I wouldn't imagine towards the end of the Twins game tonight there'll be a lot of people still at Target Field.
Record low attendance on an already record low season, right, for the Twins. It's been a better start to the year than I think many people imagine for them, but after their teardown last year, I can't imagine they're top of mind for many people right now.
No, they're not. In fact, they should hang a banner that said, had two good weeks. that's pretty much what we're looking at right now, because I think they went like 7-1 and then turned around and went 1-7. So, you know, it evens out. We love mediocrity around here.
Yeah. I said earlier in the show that this could either be these next two nights. We'll open it up to the next two nights because we know how things work with Minnesota sports, right? I don't need to tell anybody anything new, but two opportunities to clinch on the same night with the Wolves and the Wild. I can feel kind of the anxiety. I don't know how you're feeling, Gabe, but I can feel the anxiety from the Minnesota sports fans emanating down here into Cedar Rapids. This is a big night, and hoping things all go well, but we know the plight of Minnesota sports fans. We know the feeling of being cursed, right? So I guess give me your vibometer, if you will, for tonight for both the Wolves and the Wild having an opportunity to do this at home.
I think the Wild, there's probably better vibes right now considering how well Game 5 went, and they have all their stars, right? I will say the Wolves, there is some optimism, but it's definitely a do-or-die tonight. I know that we're up 3-2 in the series, but particularly for the Wolves, it feels like this is the night they got to do it. Target Center's going to be rocking. There's going to be just mayhem in the stands tonight. It feels like this is the night they got to do it because I don't think a lot of Wolves fans, and rightfully so, think that they can go to Denver after losing two straight games and get it done on the road like they did in 2024. So a lot of people feel like tonight has to be the night, at least on the Wolves' end.
Give me your read on this series, because you're looking at the 3 versus the 6, and I know seeding doesn't necessarily matter, especially in the NBA, but the Wolves lose at Denver in game one and then reel off 3 straight wins and had a 3-1 series lead. I can't imagine many people, even you who covered the team and do a podcast about the team, you had a 3-1 series lead in the back of your mind when this thing kind of got laid out on paper. What's been your impressions of how this series has played out?
Oh, absolutely. So basically, we thought going in that we knew that Denver had the best offense. Actually, if you look at it, the best rated offense, the second best in the history of the NBA. Now, obviously, recency bias because they're scoring more points lately. But we're really worried about without Karl Anthony Towns because, remember, last time we played the Nuggets in the playoffs, we had Karl Anthony Towns to kind of double Jokic and throw something else at him. This time, we didn't have him. So we were worried that Jokic, who was having a career year, was going to just go off on us once again. But, I mean, we did a fantastic job. In fact, the first four games of the series, now obviously we lost one of those, he shot 39% from the field. Holding Jokic to 39% shooting is something that we thought Rudy didn't have in him. But, I mean, Rudy has been showing that he's definitely a DPOY and why he makes such an impact out there. Even when we know as Wolves fans, we know that it's tough to watch him miss open layups and miss little hook shots and miss dunks sometimes. Last game, though, Jokic 60% shooting from the field. Definitely a much better game. It just felt like they had a better flow. And, you know, it was an amazing performance from the Wolves in Game 4, coming back from losing Dante after just a couple minutes in, which crazy thing about Dante in that scenario is he's a plus-minus king. Like, he's been our best plus-minus guy for the entire year. He was actually a plus-5 in that game that he got hurt because it was 5-0 when he got hurt. And then, of course, losing Ant, you think, oh, boy, this is going to go the wrong way, but thankfully it didn't. Game 5 felt like I kind of felt that one coming just with how much was on some of the guys like Ayo Dosunmu and Jane McDaniels to kind of generate offense without Ant. So kind of a firestorm on the road, and that's kind of why it feels like they got to get it done tonight because I don't know in the atmosphere in Denver if they can pull it off in Game 7.
Yeah, it was certainly interesting to see that performance the other night, Saturday night, with Dosunmu just going off. It's not every day, right? Like, I mean, your two of your best players, including your best player, go down in the opening minutes of the game. I mean, that's enough to shell shock anybody. I've seen it. You know me. I'm a Bucks fan, and Giannis goes down, and man, it feels like it's inevitable. Things are over. But to have guys step up like that was pretty huge. You talked about it a little bit there, and I know it was on the road, but I guess you watch game four to take the 3-1 series lead, compare it to game 5 going into game 6 tonight. What was the biggest difference that you saw from the win in Minnesota to take that 3-1 series lead and then what happened the other night, Monday night in Denver? What was the difference that got Denver back over the hump and got them back in the series?
Oh, you know, we gave them too much out of the gate. Turnovers, 25 turnovers in Game 5, and that's really – they just sped the Wolves up. And I watching back the game tape, yes, they played better defense, which, you know, Jane McDaniels did have that quote with they're all bad defenders. Well, I mean, you turn over the other team 25 times, maybe they're not all bad defenders. But the Wolves were just playing too fast, just – playing on their heels way too much and turning over the ball. And a lot of those turnovers were self-inflicted, just trying to play way too fast on the road, maybe trying to come out and try to initiate themselves way too much right out of the gate to try to just steal game 5 and not even have to go back home. But, yeah, no, that was definitely the difference in that game. And, you know, Dante DiVincenzo and even Ant, you know, they are calming figures on this team. I mean, all the entire offense runs through Ant. There were guys like Jaden and Julius Randle who had to initiate 3 times the offense that they usually have to with Anthony Edwards out there. And also the Wolves, when they got back in the game, they didn't have anybody in the clutch. In fact, in game 4 in the clutch, they didn't really play that well either. But their defense was so good that it didn't matter. Like, they had the Nuggets rattled so much offensively that they didn't even have to score down the stretch that much. And that wasn't the case in game 5. And also, I hate to say it, but maybe the little scuffle at the end of the game, of game 4, Jokic didn't say that that's what motivated him or he was motivated by the the thing with Jaden McDaniels shooting the layup, which he's done before, but that may have had some extra motivation for Game 5 as well.
Yeah, you just never know with stuff like that. Gabe Anderson from the Running with the Timberwolves podcast on the show here on 1600 ESPN. Wolves and Nuggets, one of three Game 6s tonight, six Game 6s to wrap up the first round, potentially wrap up the first round. I guess when you look at Game 6 tonight, I hate to ask such a generic question of who needs to step up, but I'll ask it anyways. Is it Rudy Gobert? Is it Dosunmu? Is it Jaden McDaniels? Who in your mind needs to be kind of the leader of this team to actually get it done and close it out tonight on the home court? Like you said, they so desperately probably need to do tonight to avoid having to go back to Denver.
Well, here's the thing. I will be shocked if Ayo Dosunmu goes for 43 again on 14 of like 17 shooting. I will say I will be shocked, but yeah, he needs to step up. In fact, he's questionable tonight, so fingers crossed on that one. But honestly, Jaden McDaniels is the tone setter for this team. Absolutely, he's all over Jamal Murray, trying to slow him down. The question is, will he have enough energy on offense after chasing around Murray? There are a lot of situations where Jaden McDaniels actually is more into the offense when he's playing intense defense on their top guy. It almost like motivates him. It's almost like he becomes this crazy two-way player, which a lot of people around here like to call him Scottie Pippen, which I'm not ready to do that yet. But honestly, I think Jaden is the guy, particularly as much as he's been solid going to the basket, he's got to hit the open corner three. I mean, he's been brutal on that so far this series. And if they can't do that, it could be tough swimming against Jokic and Murray tonight.
Hypothetical, and I'm not trying to curse the Wolves. This is for you and for other Minnesota sports fans that listen to the show. I'm not trying to put a curse on your team even more than you might be cursed already. Hypothetically, if they advance to face the Spurs in the next round, what chance do you give them to make it a series, if not even win the series, considering the status of Ant and Dante DiVincenzo?
Man, so I was actually thinking about this. If the Wolves, like, down the stretch with 1 minute left tonight have a 10-point lead, there's going to be people yelling, we want Wemby, we want Wemby. And the real reason they're going to be yelling that is because we want San Antonio. Doesn't really ring off the tongue. It's not a very good chant. But they should be leery of what they're asking for, because that is a really good San Antonio thing. Sorry about that. And it's not even Wemby. It's also like Dylan Harper, great off the bench. They got Fox. They got so many guards who can get right to the basket, and then you throw in Wemby on that as well. To answer your question, I don't like their chances against the Spurs, maybe even with Ant at this point. I guess you can argue that the Wolves have more playoff experience, and the thing that they talk about around here is they turn it on in the postseason, which the Wolves tend to do the last two seasons. But the way I'm looking at it, tonight is the Wolves' Super Bowl. They got to win this game, and there will be partying. If the Wolves and Wild both win tonight, there will be partying in the streets of Minneapolis deep into the night.
There you go. We'll look for that coming up, hopefully tonight for both. I'm not a Minnesota sports fan, but I'm rooting for all my Minnesota sports fan friends, because I know how cruel sports can be. Even as a Wisconsin sports fan, Gabe, you know my teams, and there's kind of that you feel cursed at times. So I'm rooting for the Minnesota fans in my world and on my listener base.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate that. And hey, we'd love to come join you in the East if you got any room.
I'm all for that. I think Minnesota should be in the East. I think they'd actually do pretty well in the East, and I would like the rivalry with Milwaukee and Chicago. That just makes more sense than Denver and Portland and whoever they're in that division with. So I'm
also basically every game this series has been at 8:30 or like 9:30 at night on a Monday.
Yep,
we would love those 6 o'clock starts. That's what we want the most. We don't even really care about the rivalries. Just start the game at 6. We're done by 8:30. Perfect.
There you go. That's what it's all about. Come to the best time zone in America. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Central time, baby.
Okay. Two last questions before we wrap up here. Six game sixes between tonight and tomorrow. How many game sevens do you think we get, if any?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say I could see Philly and Boston going to a game seven.
Okay.
I really could. I like Philly a lot. Obviously, I have worries about Embiid long term, so I'll give that one. I also think that Pistons Magic could go game seven. I really think that that's just going to be a hard fought series. And I think for the Pistons' own sake, they got to get it done there. And I think Cavs Raptors, I think going back to Toronto that gives the Raptors the advantage. I love the Cavaliers guard play, but I could see that going to game seven. The one that I have a friend who is a huge Hawks fan. The one that I guarantee probably won't go a game seven. I don't think Knicks Hawks will go to a game seven. I think that the Knicks are just too big for the Hawks. So I'll say three. I'll say three series go to a game seven. Oh, but not ours, because Wolves and six.
Wolves and six. There you go. That's how you do it. I would actually agree with you. It's so weird to see. I mean, maybe it's not weird, but a one seed getting, I guess, pretty much thoroughly dominated like Detroit has been, although they came back and won last night against Orlando. And then that Cavs-Raptors series, the home team has won every game. So I guess Cavs in seven there, we'll find out. But
the Magic, they've been hurt the whole season, and they've just been a weird conglomerate under Jamal Mosley. They don't hit a lot of threes, but that team plays hard, and when they're healthy, they're 1-9. Can go with any 1-9 in the league. So they get past the Detroit. I mean, they're a scary 8 seed. Makes you think back to, like, the 99 Knicks who made it all the way to the finals. I'm not saying they're going to the finals, but
right.
Hey, in the East, there's a possibility.
Who did you have winning the whole thing? I picked the Thunder. Did you pick them too?
I did pick the Thunder, yeah. It's like the easy pick. It's like when you pick the overall one seed that's just got the stud, as you were talking about the NCAA tournament earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Thunder are just too good.
I would agree with you there. Hey, Gabe, if people want to check out your Wolves podcast, where can they find it? How do they download it? Where can they get all that good stuff?
Yeah, you can check us out, Running with the Timberwolves on Spotify and Apple as well, and YouTube as well. Just look up Running with the Timberwolves. And then I'm on Twitter, Talking Timberwolves. You can look that up as well. And, yeah, just give it a listen, see what you think. We try to go live at least once or twice a week, a lot more with the playoffs. And I just got to say thanks for having me on, Spencer, and it's been a blast here in Minnesota. Hopefully we can get the trifecta, Twins win, Wolves win, and Wild win. But if I got to get rid of one, if the Twins lose, that's totally fine.
Yeah, I think you're not alone in that discussion. Gabe, appreciate it, man. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Yeah, thanks so much.
It's Gabe Anderson running with the Timberwolves podcast here on 1600 ESPN. Good stuff from Gabe. Some good insights there on the Wolves and the Nuggets for tonight. I had some sound clips. I didn't have them ready to go when we brought Gabe on, but this is Julius Randle of the Wolves. Keys to game six, in his opinion.
When you go home for game six, do you have to play with a sense of urgency, or how do you keep that at bay, or how do you approach that game?
Win the game. Simple as that. Don't beat ourselves. I feel like we beat ourselves tonight, so just win the game, make the simple plays, don't beat ourselves, and play defense.
Win the game. Simple as that. That's what are the keys to it? Well, you got to win. Yeah, we know that. We know winning is better than losing.